Hello, I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
We want to welcome you all today.
And it's not Monday, it's Tuesday. I think people are used to you and I being together, Mark, on Mondays.
But it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. I was a little confused, but now
I'm always confused.
I have it all together.
That's okay. You do have it together. Before we jump into our roundtable, talk about some issues of the day here in Baltimore, whether we should be putting billboards on the side of our fire trucks and the Grand Prix and Secret Service agents looking for prostitutes in Colombia, while we're not talking about what is really happening in Colombia at that summit, which we should be. And we'll get to all that, but one of the things that we're talking about this hour, in the beginning, WEA is a sponsor of this, is this Thursday evening, there is a roast of Sheila Dixon.
And toast.
And toast. Roast and toast. And I am representing WEAA at that roast and toast. We're going to talk a bit about that, so you can know, because we're going to give away lots of tickets if you pledge at 410-319-8888 for $88 or more, that you can join us there. Richard Siegel's in the house. He's founder and CEO of the Funniest Celebrity Charitable Fund. And Chris Thomas on the phone yet? Not there, but he'll be there in a minute. Yes? What? Yes. He is an impressionist who will be there at the event as well. So, gentlemen, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Hey, great to be here.
Can we get the mic turned up there? His mic's not on.
There you go. Some comedy early in the afternoon. Yeah.
Now we're cooking with the bacon. If you eat bacon. Maybe turkey bacon. But So, Richard, tell us about what this event is about.
Well, we are getting up there, and we've got a fantastic lineup of celebrities who are roasting. Of course, you are, and Chris Thomas, who does about 2,000 impressions, and you'll hear him in a minute. We have Miss Mabel, Pete Eibner, who's a comedian, Kirk McEwen, who's been around a lot, Devon Brown, who was city council candidate, Judge Greg Poole, and Maria Sanchez. And all those people are going to be lined up to get their shots in with Sheila, and then Sheila gets to come back at them.
Just for dancing, so is that our guest on the phone?
I think so.
Chris Thomas, is that you?
Yeah, that's me. It's hard for me to hear you. But I can hear you vaguely, but if you talk slower, I'll be hearing everything you're saying.
I'll do my best, but talking slow is usually hard for me to do, but I will do my best to speak as slowly as possible. So maybe you can get Chris to hear us a bit better there, and we can jump into this. So, Chris, what are you going to do tomorrow night? I mean, Thursday night.
Oh, Thursday night is going to be a roast and toast for the Honorable Mayor Sharon Dixon. And
Sheila Dixon, former mayor.
In fact, I'm on my way to an affair for the President of the United States at the Howard Theater tonight, him and the Vice President Biden. And I'm going to be doing the president for the mayor. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. It's great to be here with the Honorable Sharon Dixon.
Sheila Dixon.
Sheila. She's one of three African Americans to ever be mayor of Baltimore City. Then I'm gonna do my Bill Cosby. This is Bill Cosby, and it's great to see the mayor. We're gonna have a great time. People gonna be there. We're just gonna. And Jesse Jackson. This is a fun time, an opportune time to roast a wonderful lady, the Honorable Mayor Sharon Dixon. I will be so happy to be there at this very roasty affair. It's going to be a great time.
So Richard, now tell me what people expect. Is this going to be, starts at what time?
Their tickets are $35 and $55, and the $55 one tickets are for the reception from 7 to 8, and 8 o'clock will be the show, and the roasting will begin. We're starting the fire for the roast at 7:30, let it simmer a little bit. And
it goes till when?
It goes till about 9:30. It goes to 9:30. It's for the Agape House and the Funniest Celebrity Charitable Fund, and which helps the Maryland Fuel Fund and some great other great charities. So,
all right. Well, we're looking forward to this on Thursday night, and you can hang with us for a while here, Richard, if you want to, until we hit the next segment. And we encourage you all to join us there. We'll be giving away, not giving away, for a pledge of $88 to your favorite public radio station, WEAA, at 319-410-319-8888. For a pledge of $88, we give you two tickets to that event. Come and join us there for the whole evening and have a blast.
And I understand if you pay by credit card.
Yes.
You need to pay by credit card. That's when we will make sure that you get your two tickets, $88 or more. They'll be at Will Call waiting for you Thursday night. And I hope that Chris gets her first name right before Thursday night. Or maybe that was part of his act.
Well, I was starting to say that at Jesse to roast. But people have to understand that I am a comedian. The first thing when she corrects me, I will say it correctly.
She'll correct you pretty quickly.
Yes, she will. Yes, she will. Yes. Which I'll be talking a little bit about when there.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be great.
I first met Sheila Dixon in 1976, and that's when I'll start.
Mm.
76, wow.
Yeah, so a long time ago.
I was barely born.
So we want to thank for you being with us, and we want you to join us here, 410-319-8888. Join us Thursday night for the roast of Sheila Dixon. It'll be a really interesting house. There'll be a lot of people there, and we're going to take the music says we're taking a brief break here to talk about your public radio station, to come back with our news roundup. Corey McRae is in the house, along with Trey Lewis. It should be an interesting mix of ideas, to say the least. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner.
I'm Anthony McCarthy.
We're here with our two guests. Before we start, I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's not just a bank, it's a credit union. It belongs to you. www.mecu.com or go to steinershow.org and click on their banner. And we are here today, Anthony and I are here today, with Trey Lewis, president of the Baltimore Area Young Republicans, Corey McRae, past president of the Young Trade Unionists. Well, I would say they're not quite in the same political field as each other, but that's good.
410-319-8888. That's what happens here on WEAA.
Good conversation.
Should we start local?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's start local. So two things struck me in the news today, and you guys can bring up whatever struck you in the news today. And we take them one at a time and see what our listeners think, by the way, at 410-319-8888. Was it Councilman Welch?
Yes.
Who is proposing that we put advertising on the side of our municipal fire trucks. And then we also have the issue of the Grand Prix.
Right.
But let's talk the fire trucks. I mean, what was your first reaction when you...
I think my first reaction is my sustained reaction. I'm not sure if it says good things about our city that we have to turn to bake sales and sponsorship to keep essential services going in the city of Baltimore. I find it embarrassing, actually, that we would think about putting bail bonds ads or ads for scores or whomever can pony up the money on the fire trucks of the city of Baltimore. And interestingly enough, we're planning to close fire stations.
Right.
So this is one of the inventive ideas for members of the council, a member of the council, to kind of stave that off. I appreciate his effort, and I certainly think it's a very creative way for us to fill that gap. I'm just not sure if it's something the city of Baltimore needs to set a precedent in the country on.
The biggest problem
Trey
I had,
Lewis.
The biggest problem I had with it is based upon principle. Now, like you said, Anthony, I think it is a I wouldn't say it was a it's a hallmark idea, but it's definitely a clever one, an interesting one. The problem I have with it, we're talking about commercial advertisement. And with commercial advertisement, you're going to have people who are going to be relying on services, and they're going to be thinking that the fire service is a neutral city organization that its only goal is to provide a service for them, whether it be health and rescue, whatever it is. And what you want to have is that principle being upheld with the utmost integrity. That can come into question when you have commercial ventures place in advertisement and have an interest in public service. This is the reason why public service is funded for the first place, because you do not want an integrity of public service ever deteriorating based upon commercial endeavors.
Corey?
I guess I would think what other counties have done it, how successful has it been? Like you said, what is going to be on there? Is it any type of rules of this certain, you know, porno or different graphics that we shouldn't be on there, and different things like that. But I think that Trey and Anthony make some great points in reference to fire trucks.
We're at a point, you know, that many cities are at this point where their backs are against the wall trying to figure out how to pay for the services that we have to have in any city in America. Not that I always agree with Governor Martin O'Malley, but one of the things he said, a quote that stuck out of my head as we were covering these issues the other week, was the government's not about bake sales and gambling to make money for the community. There's got to be another way. Mm-hmm. So, I just seem, if we deteriorate to the point where everything is for sale, that we're talking about selling off perhaps some of our most historical buildings, what is a shot tower going to become?
A taco bar? Stand.
I do believe in commercial endeavors lumping with government when it doesn't suit the whole public. Public service suits the
like
whole public.
Like what, Trey?
Like, for example, recreational center. That's a service that certain people are going to use. Not everyone's going to use a recreational center. And that's nothing that's going to have any type of integrity attached with it. So I'm open to...
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Meaning that the service is based upon pure just services and helping. And that
so you would be okay, Trey, if Scores became the sponsor of the Fremont Avenue
absolutely not. I mean, obviously you're going to have some type of prudence with it. But I'm totally open. Let's say, for example, all intents and purposes, Toys R Us, saying that we want to donate and we want to have certain facilities in Baltimore City recreational centers. I'm open to that idea. I don't think that's nothing out of the realm and out of the norm for city government to open themselves up to. But you can't open yourself up to certain particular services being in commercial endeavors.
Two things, Mark, and then I'm sure we're going to get some callers at 410-319-8888 to weigh in. Two things. I think that to his credit, Councilman Welch, the legislation does set up some benchmarks and sets up a committee to come up with rates and some, you know, issues of who can advertise, all of that. So I think it does do that. The problem here is the integrity of the fire department. I think it really does diminish the integrity of these hardworking men and women who put their life on the line every time that bell rings to have an advertisement on their ladder. But I have to tell you, the other part of me says, well, whatever it takes to get it done, whatever it takes to protect and serve the people of our city, we've gotten ourselves into a mess through poor, weak leadership in this city. On the county, on the council level, and in the administrative level, where these problems haven't been solved. No one wants to shrink government. No one wants to say that there are certain things that government can't be involved in this city. We've got to save money. The answer is to continue to raise taxes, and to continue to raise taxes to meet these huge shortfalls. Instead of being smart, bring in some experts, and let's really figure out how we can run government efficiently and effectively in the city of Baltimore.
I was going to touch on when Trey was talking about the recreation centers. I think that it's some things that you really got to be slow to privatize. I look at the recreations and I think about the workers. I think about the children. I think about how do we get a direct effect, or how can I talk to the city government in reference to if I do have a problem, then I'm working through that that third party. And I think that that's what becomes the issue. We saw on the state level that the Triple P was the big thing that they talked about, trying to get more privatization of our government. But I grow a large concern, because a lot of times when you have privatized, you have a lot of people cheating, a lot of people trying to make that extra buck, and you have people that don't get to get unemployment insurance, workman's compensation because they're working under the table or different things like that. But we know when our government is in charge of it that these criteria are being met. So I do grow a lot of concern when we talk about commercializing our
It seems to me in many ways, and folks, I know the lines are confusing because we're also doing the fundraiser at the same time, but you can join us here at 410-319-8888. And maybe make a pledge while you're here, too. But
that's right.
Whatever you want to do, 410-319-8888. But in some ways, you know, I'll posit something maybe a little off the wall to some people, that it's broken, that we've reached a place where government can answer the needs that people wanted to answer. For 40 years it did. From the 1930s to the 1970s, it really did answer the needs of this country, whether it was Social Security, Medicare, recreation centers, fire departments, schools, and somehow it's now broken. And how does it get fixed? We can say we can cut services, but what are we going to cut? See what happens when you cut rec centers. There are no places for kids to go to after school. You're going to cut fire departments, close houses, lay off, you know. Some people have argued that maybe. Baltimore City has, what is it, the third largest number of police per capita,
that's right,
per population than any other city in the country.
The country.
And maybe this is sacrilege. Maybe we don't need to have more police than we do. Maybe we don't need to fill all the posts that we have. We need to do it in a smarter way. So, I guess I'll let you come back on that when we come back from break. Okay, Trey?
Don't
okay.
forget what you're thinking, Trey.
I'm not. He's not
oh, I
forget.
Know he's not going to.
So, I mean, so comment on what we left off, and we're going to move on to something else.
Oh, it was, and Anthony said it. And Mark, you chimed in, is that people are interested in shrinking government. I'm one of them. And but one thing that government can't go away from protection of rights. It can't go from organizational privileges. This is like driver's license and things of that sort. And then obviously public safety and health and rescue. Anything else, I believe, is ancillary to what the government wants to do for its people. One thing about the difference about a man growing up in 1940 and a person growing up now is that they didn't depend or they didn't expect for the government to take care of them. They did not. The society was different back then. It was not an entitlement society.
Well,
I say that figuratively and literally.
Okay, and I think I'll let Corey, you can jump in. But this is, I mean, this, I think this is the core of conservative mythology, because, you know, when my father and many people's fathers came back from World War II, the only way they bought a house was through the government. The only way you went to college was through the government. When the 1940s was the beginning of people getting Social Security, was the beginning when Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, we need a second Bill of Rights in America that guarantees every citizen a home, that guarantees every citizen health care. That was the beginning of an idea that erupted back then.
But just real quick, though, the thing is that Social Security isn't an entitlement. The thing is that you pay into Social Security without your yay or nay.
So it is an entitlement.
No. It's not an entitlement. It's something that you're granted. It's something that's granted to you without really you putting
like
in any
what?
Effort.
What? Give us examples.
We have many social programs, assistance programs
like
that
what?
Give people monies for housing
like
and for the children to supplement the cost for them having children for their housing. There is no guarantee as a citizen to say that the government should take care of your kids and your housing needs.
This doesn't supplement. But it supplements incomes that are below the poverty line. Doesn't supplement you having children.
Right. But the government says that no matter what your income is that you can still have children and that we will take care and provide for them.
That's such provocative nonsense.
But that's what happened. That's what's happening,
that
though.
It's absurd.
I mean, I'm not. Look, it's not. It's to me, I'm just being as objective as possible with this.
No, you're not. You're not being objective, but I'm just going to. It's your ideology, which is fine, but.
And you're entitled
to
the ideology.
This is what goes on, but this is what's going on.
Well, let me go to Corey.
I think that's 80-20 rule when you say that. I don't think that all people out there, them people that utilize that service, really need it, to me. But when you talk about shrinking government, I know that Trey talked about still protecting workers' rights. But I know that sometimes when I'm on the phone and I'm calling my water bill or I'm calling a certain department, I'm always frustrated because I don't feel as though I'm getting the right service that I'm supposed to be getting. But I'm not upset with that worker. I'm upset with the government because they didn't hire enough employees. I think that we shouldn't shrink and government. I think we should just run it more efficiently. We don't need to have 11 bottles of water over there or different things like that. That way of managing the money a lot better. We don't need to have the trips in Las Vegas and stuff like that or different things that's coming up on. But shrinking government is not the big issue. Running it more efficiently. And I grow a lot of concern when you talk about shrinking government because of my services that I'm paying for.
And I agree with you about that, Corey, that we have to be very careful about how we make government more efficient. But I have to tell you, I think that we, with growing technology and with new innovative ideas, there are best practices around the world that this city could adopt that would make it easier for us to deliver the services and, I know we're not supposed to say this, make it cheaper for us to deliver services.
I think we just saw one that came up in a council a couple months with the police, the online reporting.
That's right.
Is much more efficient. But we had a gap, I guess, within the police budget, and that's where that helped us out. But I did want to chime in on what Mark was talking about in the 30s and the 40s and how it was a lot better. I think that we've been beaten down on our wages, probably why the situation where we're in there. And today I read a great article about raising the minimum wage. I know I tweeted it. I know you retweeted
it.
and that's an issue. issue right here. We had people working two or three jobs, and then you still want some type of government subsidy, and I don't think that that's fair to the people, because you went from making $50,000 and now you're making $30,000, and you do have two kids. And I don't fault you for having two kids. I just think that employers aren't paying people what they're worth.
But you know what? I believe in raising the minimum wage in this country. I think we have to raise the minimum wage. But, Corey, you have to admit, municipalities, cities across the country give you all great contracts. Our city employees, our union employees get paid very well.
But they are being beaten down every day. We look at how they're having to pay more in health care. They're having to, their pensions, you know, the tier systems with the police officers. So every day they're taking shots and things like that at the
Let me mixing up here. We have callers calling in to pledge, which is great. We also have callers calling in to talk. 410-319-8888. Let's get a caller in. Clarence, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Mark.
Hey, Clarence.
Hey, Clarence.
And your guests. One thing that nobody ever talks about is the waste in the city government. Now, how many rec centers with that $200,000 in overtime that the superintendent driver made? How long would a rec center be open with that money? I mean, look at the waste that goes on in this city. I've never been able to figure out why, when you have an emergency call such as an ambulance, that there is not a more streamlined vehicle that comes to pick, that answers the call, rather than a fire engine, the cost in sending a fire engine, or the cost of one of these other vehicles. When you look at things like that, then there is a tremendous amount of waste that goes on in the city government. And also, who's paying their fair share? When I heard Mr. Stokes on your program a couple weeks ago, he was talking about lowering the property tax would help solve some of the budget problems in the city. I don't think that lowering the property tax in Baltimore City is going to have people beating down the door to move back into Baltimore City. That you have to improve the quality of life, get rid of some of the waste, improve the services by getting rid of some of the waste, and then you can start there. When you say that a business that wants to build a hotel downtown gets a tax break because of the infrastructure that has to go in building that hotel, then no. If you want to build a hotel down in my city and you want to reap the benefits of having that hotel there, then you pay the cost for it. What are you going to do? Say no to me that it's not available? No, you're going to come up with the money and build it and reap the benefits by it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Clarence.
The only problem, Mark, I see with Clarence's analysis, especially on TIFs and pilots, is that for a very long time, Baltimore had to offer those incentives. We just did. To be able to grow our downtown to the level that it's grown, to be able to bring some of those very important hotels and other and retail, other very essential amenities, to bring conventions, to bring residents, to bring a tax base into the city. I think we're reaching the tipping point. I sat in on a meeting the other day, Mark, and I'm not going to, you know, people know I work for politicians, but I sat in on a meeting where a company from New York wants a 20-year pilot. They don't want to contribute taxes for 20 years to a huge project. And I think sometimes to myself, this must be a dream, that people really think that the city of Baltimore should allow them to build a massive structure in the city and not pay taxes while they're reaping profits from it.
But what's awful we don't have here is that we don't have a strong tax base as well. I mean, we do. Let's be very clear about this. We're talking about a city that's now 600,000 residents, and we're talking about one third of them do not pay any form of income tax or tax to the city. They don't contribute anything to the city. We're talking about one third.
Let's
be very clear about something. We can go back and forth about hospital and churches.
One third. Now,
nonprofits.
Where did you get that statistic from?
The Census Bureau, the 2010 census.
Well, I'm going to look that out while we're talking. That sounds a little large. It's a little high.
That seems a little high.
It seems a little high.
For Baltimore, it's not. But we can go back and forth. We can go back and forth about churches and hospitals. But if they're not here, what replaces them?
They're not going
what
anywhere.
What replaces them?
Hopkins is not going to pick up and roll away.
No, they're not going anywhere.
So,
but they contribute a lot to the city. I know they don't pay their quote unquote fair share.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come right back. Stay with us, folks. This is Mark Steiner.
I'm Anthony McCarthy. We're having too much fun, but we need some calls.
We do.
We're in another segment, so we can.
Yes. Yeah. So let's switch gears for a minute. Can we switch gears for a second?
Yeah, let's do that.
We said we were going to go a little beyond local. And there's this summit taking place in Latin America. And what we're covering in the press has to do with the Secret Service agents and others who were soliciting a prostitute or prostitutes or whatever was going on in Colombia where it's taking place. But what the American press is not covering at any great length is what's really going on in the South American summit, which is where they're saying almost all the Latin American countries in unison, in Caribbean countries, are saying unless you allow Cuba to come to the table, we're never having a summit again. They had their own summit in the fall where they invited Cuba and had created a different organization where that was going to take place. And places like Guatemala,
Ecuador,
and other places are saying, legalize it. We're tired of the drug wars. Tired of you pouring money into our countries fighting drug wars. This is not our problem. Let's stop it and legalize it and think of a different way to deal with drugs. So they're saying things that are that we're not discussing here in the press as much as you should be. Right. Corey, you want to jump in?
I think you one more you want to probably highlight is the Colombian-style NAFTA agreement that's taking place and supposed to ratify in a couple months coming forward. You know, when we talk about jobs and things like that, that's one of the things that we should be looking at. But I do think that, like you said, it's a great way to divert the attention and take it off of the real subject that needs to happen. It's interesting that it didn't happen on a Friday. It happened on a Monday so that we can talk about it all week. And we should be paying attention to that. We should be looking at it.
And, Mark, for way too long, the United States has had an enormous amount of influence over our allies throughout Central America. And I think that we have to have a grown-up conversation about Cuba's role in the Americas. We just do. They are so close to our border. We have had this arcane I can't even think of a word that denigrates it enough, that we have had this ridiculous policy when it comes to interaction with Cuba that does not serve the American people well. It certainly does not serve the Cuban people well. If we're trying to get a change in leadership, the influence that we really want to have is on the people of Cuba. And we've got to have some sort of interaction with the people of Cuba that's more than just boats coming across to Florida. We've got to deepen our interaction with Cuba.
I think the United States does need to open up its doors as far as saying some type of restructuring our trade agreements with Cuba. One thing I do not appreciate and I don't like is that the Central American and South American nations think that they can control the table of foreign relations in the Western Hemisphere or the United States, saying that they're going to shut us out. Just because of something that they want. I don't think that's the way it should go. And they need to understand that we are the major player at the table.
Well, that's part of the problem. It's no longer the case. You see, that's living in another century. Here's the United States, our nation's biggest problem when it comes to the world. We think we're the biggest player in the world. We are not.
Well, who's
we are no
who's
longer
ahead of us?
The playing field is evening up. You have countries like Brazil and India that are looking at the world in a very different way, and other countries in Latin America. You have China and Russia and Europe collectively. This is no longer the American world. We have to realize that and play this very differently, or we're going to be fighting war after war and not dealing with the world in a sensible way. This mythology of America is the greatest. We're the only country in the world. We control it. We don't control
it. Well, American exceptionalism is alive and well, and we do have competition with nations. We have nations in competition like Brazil and Russia and India and China, but they're competition. They're nowhere near are they our equals in regards to our wealth and regards to our might and regards to the greatest thing that we have going for us, and we have been going for us for the past 230 years, is our democracy.
Right, to send our troops into Honduras, Guatemala, and Nicaragua, and Panama, and Cuba.
At the request of those people. People there.
What are you talking about?
I mean, well, the fact of the matter is that...
What are you talking about,
Trey? The fact of the matter is that without America...
Wait, let's just go back to history. None of the people of those countries asked us to come in. We went into Panama because we wanted to take over and build a canal. They didn't
ask.
Well,
the canal was already built.
We stole Panama from Colombia.
We did. Well, Colombia...
It wasn't even part... Panama never existed.
We had direct control over Panama, the country of Panama, for only a short period of years. We controlled the Panama Canal for a substantial period of time.
We invaded Panama, stole it from Colombia, and created a nation called Panama that never existed. We created it so we could have our canal.
Control it.
That's where Panama came from.
When Colombia gained its independence from the Spanish Empire, they held on to Panama against the people, the Panamanians, against their will. and the people of Panama created their own nation, you know, with the assistance of the United States.
You really don't know the history.
Well, that
you don't, because first of all, Columbus, these countries were created in a very different way. When, and I'm not going to get into all the history now, but Simón Bolívar led a revolution throughout South America.
Yes.
And freed South America from the hands of the Spaniards.
Yes.
But we're getting way off the base here. What we should be talking about is legalizing drugs and talking about what they're saying is the problem.
Right.
Our drug habit in America are fueling the wars of Latin America. Our drug habit.
Part of it is, yes, that's true.
All of it is. Our drug habit and our guns.
It's not a definite 100% that the habit, the addiction in America alone is fueling the drug
our
wars.
Our drug habit is fueling the wars.
Cartels
and also it's our guns we're selling to the gangsters in Latin America are fueling these wars. And we then send all these immigrants who we say are undocumented back to those countries who are gangsters who fuel the wars even more.
Mm. Hey, listen, I think there needs to be the libertarian streak in me does say that there should be an open conversation about what we should do with the drug policies in this country, the current drug policies in this country. What should we do or not do with them? But we have to also understand that the guaranteed negative consequences for those actions once we do them. If we do legalize, we do have to understand we will incur at least at the bare minimum a 10% increase in substance abuse amongst the adult
actually,
population.
Actually, no study in the world says
there
that.
There is studies in the world. When the Netherlands says
no, it's actually not true.
I think that it is very important that the president, if we're going to be this great leader, Trey, that you talk about, this great nation that we are supposed to be, I think it's very, very important that the president step up to the plate and say, we have to do something about this drug war. It's not working. And in fact, we are really wreaking havoc all over Central America because of our drug addiction in this country.
Corey, you want to have a final thought? No, I just want to give you a final thought before we.
I was getting a great history lesson. What I felt like I'm going to go back and research Panama. And I appreciate the conversation.
Which the country of Panama benefited greatly from the Panama Canal being open.
The wealthy. So the army and the wealthy made money. The people of Panama did made bupkis, as my grandfather would say, which means nothing.
I mean, that's like, saying the average New Yorker didn't benefit from the Empire State Building being built.
They didn't.
That's another conversation, Mark. Make sure you put that down on the list.
The Empire State Building is a good thing. I'm glad they built it.
Me too.
I'm glad. So I enjoyed. Listen, we have to take a break here in a minute. I want to thank Trey Lewis and Corey McCrae for being here. It's always a pleasure to have you in the house.
Always, brother.
We always have a laugh. I love you, Trey.
Love you too, man.
You too, Corey.
Same to you, brother.
Good to have you both here.
All right, no problem.
Thank you for your pledge, and thank you for your continued support, Trey.
No problem, not a problem.
Okay. Mark, I will see you
in a minute.
Next week.
We're not going anywhere.
I am.
No, we have to.